Genesis chapter 4. Tonight I'm going to be dealing with the last couple weeks I've been involved with some marriage counseling, and recently I'll be doing some premarital counseling as well. And it's been fun going through this. It's been challenging at times as well. And this is where God has led me to go probably in the next couple weeks here with the church. I believe that we need to take in deep consideration what is going on inside marriages today. And I'll be flat out honest with you. Marriages between believers today are under great attack. If you do not think so, you're foolish. They're under great attack. And we as believers really need to guard our hearts and guard our marriages. Because one of the things that Satan wants to do is to destroy the family. And sad to say this, he is being successful on many notes. But with that being said, there is great success of many marriages being successful as well. I was looking up this afternoon, the longest recorded marriage in history is recorded at 86 years. Could you imagine, Charlie, 86 years of marriage? Couples, 100, don't answer, Charlie. Sorry, Charlie, I asked you. But 86 years of marriage, I just thought that was just tremendous to see that longevity take place in a couple's lives. I believe he just passed away recently at the age of 105. And God gave both of them a long life. By the way, they're both from Nebraska. And in their late 90s, they moved to California to spend time with their family out there. So 86 years of a long marriage. And they asked him what was his greatest success to this long marriage. And he says, agreeing with her. Agreeing with her. There's a lot of truth to that. But with that being said, we're not going to deal with that tonight. Tonight I'm going to deal with the man. Next Sunday night I'm going to deal with the woman. The following week, I've yet to get to that point, but we'll see where God leads us. So you young ladies that are in here tonight, I would really encourage you to take some notes in this area, because you're soon to be facing a change in your life the older you get. And I would encourage you I would encourage you parents as well, be in prayer for your daughter's spouse. That's one of the greatest lessons that Doc taught me years ago when Jalen was born. They were excited that she was here, but I remember the first thing that they said to Chris and I, now we're beginning to pray for her spouse. And I thought that was just a neat thing for him to tell us. And that's something, I'll be honest with you, I have not done faithfully on my part, but I have prayed for my daughter's future spouse. Right now, his name is J-E-R-K. Just kidding. Looking forward to that day. He's not a jerk, I'm just kidding. What I'm going to go through tonight is you're going to look at the scripture and you're going to think, why is he going here for direction tonight? We'll see this. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll read verses 1 through verse number 5, and then we'll begin to look at some things. So, Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we're able to be here tonight, to be underneath the teaching of your word. God, you without a doubt, with absolute 100% surety in my life, laid this upon my heart today, and I'm grateful for that. Lord, I ask for prayers, and within seconds, you delivered the answer, and I'm grateful for you answering that prayer. And God, I pray that I would do you right tonight by speaking the truth of your word. I pray, Lord, that especially the young ladies and the dads that have a big part in this would really take these things to heart tonight. And Lord, as I sat underneath the teaching of Pastor last Sunday morning during Sunday school, there were some things that was mentioned that I realized as a father I have failed miserably. So God, I pray that you would continue to wake me up in areas of my life to be a better father to my daughter. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Verse number 1 through verse number 5 says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." Did you hear the word that I just stressed? Can anybody repeat that? Respect. Respect is what I'm going to be dealing with tonight, and what type of a man a young woman should be looking for in her life. Today, it seems that in the realm of believers, marriages are in a great state of difficulty. And it's sad to say these things. However, there are very many reasons for this to be. But tonight we'll dive into what I believe the heart of the matter is. Here in the book of Genesis, we read of two very different men parented by Eve and Adam, raised by the same parents, but they had very different outlooks on life. You all know that I have come from a big family. Mom and Dad raised 6 kids. But out of those 6 kids, we all have a different outlook on life, even though we are raised by the same parents. We have different beliefs, believe it or not. We have different ideas, and we have different opinions about things. That's just the nature of things. And here, Cain and Abel had two different outlooks on life. Tonight, by the grace of God, we will be able to see what type of a man that a woman should be looking for. I'm going to stop right here. This is not in my notes by any way, shape, or form, but I got to say this. From about 15 years of age until I was about almost 18 years of age, young ladies, I want you to pay attention to this. I wasted 3 years of my life that I will never get back because I was chasing a girl who was not saved. I was chasing the wrong kind of a person that I was taught to be a part of. And so for 3 years of my life, I had ignored and have forgotten about my family and my friends during that time. And I put my sole focus upon a girl that I was not going to spend a lifetime with. I felt that was necessary for me to say for this reason. Those are 3 years of my life that I will never get back. But thankfully, by the grace of God, God opened up my eyes and allowed me to be a part of this beautiful lady's life that is sitting here tonight. I'm grateful for those things. But I wasted 3 years of my life. I want you to understand that. Wasted 3 years of my life. For those of us dads who have daughters, this becomes a great concern to us as our daughters grow older in life. The more older that I get, the more I realize my little girl, who I used to hold in my arms, is no longer little, and I can no longer hold her in my arms the way that I used to. Are you trying to give me a sob story tonight, Chad? No, I'm not trying to give you a sob story tonight. I'm facing you with reality. There are many times where I sit there, whether I'm at work or whether I'm at home, I think of the day when my daughter's going to leave the presence of her mother and father and go spend her life with a man that she loves and adores. And there are times where I sit there and I cry, and there are times that I sit there and I rejoice as well. And you guys know what that means. Jeff just recently went through that, so did Teresa. There's rejoicing in those areas. But dads, we have a great concern tonight for these things. First off, I believe we dads, we need to protect our daughters. Do you realize God has left them in our care? They are our responsibility until the very day that the father comes to the wedding ceremony and hands his hand of his daughter over to the preacher, and the preacher hands that hand over to the man that she's about to make those vows to. We have a duty to protect our daughters to that very day. And you know, it doesn't matter how old they are. They can be 25, 30 years of age, which is probably the age that I will probably allow Jalen to begin considering courting. And I'm just kidding. But it is our job to protect our daughters. We should be protecting our daughters from the dating scene as long as possible. For this reason, I'm going to give you this reason. Why would we want to encourage dating at a young age to allow sexual thoughts and to allow sexual feelings to infiltrate the mind of the child? Why would we want to encourage those things? I believe that if we were to do these types of things, we are doing ourselves a great disservice to our children. The last thing that I would want to do is to create sexual thoughts into a life of a young person. Let me just say this to you young ladies. A young boy will manipulate the young lady to do anything that he would desire of her. They have ways of corrupting you. They have ways of making you do things that you would not think that you would do. And I will go a little bit further than this. Girls, in many ways, boys are jerks, and they can be creeps. They really can be. And they at times, as young men, could care less about you. What they are about is having a great story that they can go back and talk to their friends about. Having no respect, having no care for you whatsoever in their life. I want you to understand that that is the truth. You're hearing amens from some guys in this church tonight. I know what I'm talking about in this area, and they are in agreement with me. So I would encourage you to listen to the advice of your parents when it comes to these types of things. Girls, you should really be concerned about a relationship with God first. Then you are concerned about a relationship with a boy. If you can't get a relationship with God, how do you expect to have a relationship with a boy that's going to be lasting? You need to be seeking a relationship with God. Verse number 4 and 5 here is the key ingredient for a dad to see in the life of a young man. It says, "And Abel, he also brought her the offerings of his flock, and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but Cain he had no respect for." So this is a key ingredient that might be for the young man that might be considering dating his daughter. Can I throw out here that a girl and a boy, I might have some daggers coming at me right now, that's fine. I have broad shoulders, I can take daggers. I have a lot of blood in my system. I can bleed a little bit. That's okay. But I don't personally believe that a boy and a girl should be dating. I really don't. For this reason, God said he created man and woman. Therefore, dating, I'm going to use this word, I like this word a lot better, courting, should be only between a man and a woman. Should not be between kids. And let me tell you something. 17, 18, 19 years of age, you're still a kid. It was hard for me to figure that out as a young person. You're still a young person. You're still a kid. You still have a lot to learn. That's just my thought. That's just my conviction here. But let's focus on what God has to say. These two verses are key. When they both presented their offerings, Cain and Abel, before the Lord, there is one word that jumps out at me that is mentioned, as I alluded to it earlier. This word is respect. God had respect unto Abel for his offering, and Cain he had none. This is of great importance, and as dads who have daughters need to see this importance in scriptures. It is obvious that we see one man who wants to seek and have a deeper relationship with God, meaning the time that he put into this offering, he wanted to give God his best for this very reason. I believe because he loved and he adored God. By the way, girls, that should be something that you should be looking at in your future spouse. Does this guy love and does he adore God? You see this with Abel and his offering. You see these things. He had a desire. And God isn't that important to him, talking about Abel or Cain, with the desire, with the offering that he gave to him. Something that he just whipped up, wasn't very meaningful to him, and he just gave it. What are dads to look for in a man that is seeking to date your daughter? And let me just say this. Dating, courtship, should not be a buffet style. It should not be how many men that are coming their way, which, by the way, I absolutely reject, and I am sickened by the fact that there are television shows out there that promote this type of a lifestyle. And we see it in television shows, and it's sick. And I seriously believe that any believer that watches the shows such as Bachelor or Bachelorette has some serious deep issues. I really do. Because they're promoting a sexual desire in men and women that should not be there. And they're trying to make this a normal lifestyle. Going into a line of buffet of women so that they can pick out what's best for them. That's not how it is done. By the way, God has a spouse out there for you. If it was designed for you to get married, God has a spouse out there for you. He truly does. And what you have to do is begin to seek that in your life. Begin to ask God to deliver you and to reveal to you the man that he wants you to marry. And you should keep yourself away from any other boy and any other man until that time. What did I say a few moments ago? I wasted 3 years of my life that I'll never get back. But God had grace in my life, and I appreciate that about him. So dating should not be a buffet style. The answer is quite simple. One who shows respect unto God and also has a relationship with God. There is and should be no other option as a father when he begins to look at a man that is seeking to date his daughter. If the young man doesn't have a relationship with God, at my house, there will be no courtship. You hear that, Jalen? She knows that. She knows where I stand. These are conversations that I have with her quite often. And she is yet to reject me in that area. Why do I do this with her? Because she's my daughter. God gave her to me, and I have a job to do, and as to protect her from people who want to do harm to her. So if a young man doesn't have a relationship with God in my house, there will be no courtship allowed. God has instructed us, man, to protect our daughters. And no Joe Dirt is going to come along and ruin the foundation of the young woman that the parent has built. See, from day one, we as parents that are believers are laying a foundation for our children to follow as they go on in life. We invest and we sacrifice at times to begin to pour our blood, sweat, and tears so that our children have a great foundation. And if we allow some Joe Schmo to come along and to let our guard down and to bring and to come into our lives and capture our daughter and take her away and ruin the very foundation that we have brought her in, all is gone. So we have a duty to protect our children, our daughters. I have seen too many young men and women ruin their lives trying to date or to court unbelievers. You know, I have told many people on many different occasions, do not date or do not even court somebody who is not saved. And you know what I hear, a majority of the response? Well, I will date them and throughout time they will get saved and I will change them. You know, good luck if that takes place, because that's a rarity. It truly is. There are some successes on those things, but why put yourself in a relationship with a non-believer? The Bible says to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. So we have a great duty that it's upon ourselves. So I've compiled a list, men, that I believe to be important for a dad to check off on a young man seeking to court your daughter. Now, you might not agree with this list. That's fine. This is just what God has impressed upon me today. You can take this, and if you want, you can make changes to these things. By the way, if you're a dad and your daughter has already been married and now you got grandkids, well, guess what? Your job's not done. It's just gotten more complex, because now you're dealing with your children with children, and you got to help them along the way. So number one in my list that God has given me this afternoon is a question that you need to ask the young man that has a desire to court your daughter is this. Are you ready for this? This is very deep, and that question is, are you saved? Are you saved? If he cannot answer that question with honesty and without looking in your eye, without 100% surety, then in reality, you do not need to bother with the rest of the questions. Because if he cannot pass this first question, the rest of them are obsolete. I have recently been talking to some parents who have some kids that are in the dating process. They're older now, but unfortunately, they have dated some women that don't believe the way that they do, meaning they don't have a belief in Christ. And I've heard the father say this. He has said this: if you marry this young person, and I appreciate his stance on this, because they are an unbeliever, I will not attend your wedding. Why is that? Because that is a man who is following God. And he knows the importance of having a spouse who is a believer also. Ask the question, are you saved? That is an important question to answer, to ask and to answer. Number two, the next question should be, do you read the Word of God daily for provision in your life? And I mean seeking God's face. The Word of God should be the most important thing after salvation that a person does in his life. Because that is helping you to realize that you are dependent upon God and you need His help daily in your life. It will help his relationship grow with the Lord. And with that being said, as his relationship grows with the Lord, guess what? The relationship with his future spouse will grow also. That is a fact. Do you read the Word of God for daily provision in your life? Number three, as we move along, the third question that I would begin to ask, because this is important to me. It's been important in my life for many years now. And that is, how often do you pray? How often do you pray? And I'm not talking about, okay, God, thank you for this food. Bless this day. Get us back home safely. Amen. That's a majority of a lot of prayers in some people's lives. I'm not talking about that type of a prayer. I'm talking about a time of deep intimacy with God. There is something that stuck out to me when I was a young person that I will never forget. It has been an impact on my life. From the first time that I can remember my father doing this thing. Back in the day, my grandparents had a camper out at Spirit Lake, Iowa. And we would go there on occasions and spend the weekends there, have some time of fishing. Matter of fact, that's where I became very skilled in doing cane pole fishing. I don't know if any of you folks know what a cane pole is, but us fishermen, we know what those are. And I understand why Dad got us those things, because we didn't have to worry about getting a line tangled up in the reel. So we just put the line in and just yanked it out and we got a fish. Those are fun. But I remember on several different occasions, my father would go there by himself. And he would do two things. He would fast and then he would pray. And I often wonder at that age when I begin to see this take place, why is he doing these things? And I believe I asked my mother once, one time, why is he going up there? And I believe her response was, he's wanting his relationship to grow closer with the Lord. Through deep prayer and through a deep time of intimacy with God, your relationship will grow with the Lord. See, if a man's not willing to invest time into the Lord and have his relationship furthered in the Lord, do you think that he's going to invest time in his spouse to allow his relationship grow closer with his spouse? So you see how important that is? You need to ask this question. By the way, don't ask questions if you're not doing this yourself. Fathers, you need to be doing these things. Matter of fact, your children need to see you reading God's word. Your children need to see you having time in prayer. Your children need to see these things because it's good for them. Pastor Josh over in Twin Cities when I was over there taught me that very thing. Everything that he did was inside his house so his children can see him serving the Lord, so that they can catch that and do the same thing. I appreciate that about him. So how often do you pray? And if so, is it a time of intimacy with God? The fourth thing that I would ask is this. How often do you go to church? Are you a member of a church? And then I would follow it up with this. And if you go, and if you miss... What are your excuses? What are your excuses? And then to follow up with this, give him three reasons why church should never be missed. I want you to write this down, men, because I think these are important. Three reasons why church should be missed. Number one, doctrine. If the church is not teaching the proper doctrine, then you need to seek the church that teaches a proper doctrine. That's important. Number two, distance. Sometimes distance is could be a handicap for people. I know people here that travel a great distance. I know people in Chris's home church in Sioux City, they travel a great distance. Matter of fact, the latest couple in their church, they're in their early 90s. They would travel 35 miles one way. But sometimes distance could come in effect. But the third reason is death. Death and sickness. These are three important follow-up questions, that answers that you need to give. Because going to church should be at the top of his list. I'm going to follow up with this statement here. If you are to marry girls, listen to this. If you are to marry a part-time church attendee, you will have a part-time spouse. One who is not faithful to God will not be faithful to you. It's important for you to understand those things. Oh, but Chad, you just don't understand. He's such a dreamy guy. He's tall. He's got broad shoulders, and he's got a nice square jaw, and he works out. He's all chiseled. By the way, chiseled. Let me just tell you something, young ladies. Everything goes south. What you build up will go down. I'm living proof of that now. By the way, I love the going down part. It's so much funner. I don't have to worry about anything. I can eat anything. I'm going to have fun with it. It's great. But you need to seek a guy who sees the value of going to church. Because he will understand the value of you. Number five. This is important. This is something that I'm doing now. How is your relationship with your mom? That's an important question. How is your relationship with mom? See, young ladies, if you see a man that you're interested in and he treats his mom horribly, that's not the man for you, because that's exactly how he's going to treat you. Without a doubt. A son who loves his mom and cherishes his mom will love and cherish you just as well. That is important for you to see. It goes a little bit further than how they treat their mom. How do they treat their siblings? Do they get along with their sisters? What do you mean by that? Well, if they have sisters, they need to show great respect. Do they love and adore? Do they get along? These are some serious questions that we need to ask. It's important for us to see these things, men. Dads, the response to this question will show you how they will treat your daughter in the future. By the way, you should be looking at these things right now, if that is your daughter in this type of a position. By the way, dads, this is something that you need to do. Pray about the young man that God has in store for your daughter. I begin to watch a relationship develop this past year between Isaac and Jeff. And I have noticed a bond that they had begun to develop with one another. And it started off with this. They begin to pray with one another. I seen it take place here at the prayer meeting that we have at 5:15. They would go off on occasions. It'd just be the two of them, and they begin to pray. And they begin to have that time with one another. That I would encourage you to do those types of things. And I can look at Jeff and Isaac, and I can see the great relationship that they have. I don't see Jeff looking at Isaac as his son-in-law. I see Jeff looking at Isaac as his son. And in response, I see Isaac's father look at Lindsay the same way. Great respect there. Begin to pray about the young man. I stress man, because a boy still has a lot to learn. You know, I got married at the age of 19, and I still had a lot to learn. Chris's and I's first year of marriage was very rough and very difficult. We go from talking to each other on the phone and seeing each other once a week to living together. And there was a lot of problems in that area. She didn't realize how selfish I was, and I didn't realize how selfish I was either. And it created a lot of problems. It truly did. Majority of our problems that first year of marriage was mine. It was me. And one of the reasons why that was is because my relationship with God wasn't very desirous. So, man, I would encourage you to pray about the young man that God has in store for your daughter. You should be doing your part as well. And for Pete's sakes, don't rush them out the door. Don't rush them out the door. They only have a short window of being young. Why would we want to rush them out the door so fast? I'm going to say this, because we live in a different era today. We live in a different world. If your daughter has any type of smart device in her possessions, you have the right to check them at any time. Why? Because you're the dad. Do your job. Kids will find a way to sneak around. By the way, it wouldn't be a bad idea to check them every day. It really wouldn't. God has called you to be her dad, to be her protector, to be her caretaker. And you shouldn't allow anybody to rob you of those things. A dad who doesn't get involved is a dad who can care less about his daughter's well-being. And she might end up with a man who can care less about her and could very well end up abusing her and mistreating her later on in life. Respect. The Lord had respect unto Abel. I mentioned Jeff and Isaac for a reason. Because I see that Jeff has respect for Isaac. That is important. Very important. Respect. A man who respects God will respect others. That's including your daughter. We have so much that we can learn from in this chapter. One of the reasons why we have a lot of failed marriages in the life of a believer, number one, because there's bitterness. A spouse won't allow a certain issue to go. By the way, I don't understand why all of a sudden when we're in an argument, we become very historic. We're very knowledgeable in history. What do you mean? Well, we bring up things 40 years ago. We're very well rehearsed in those areas. So that's number one. Number two is this word here. There's no respect. I have the greatest and utmost respect for my wife. And anybody who hurts her and wants to harm her in any other way, they're going to have to answer to me. Chad, you sound like a bully right now. No? I'm just telling you the truth. I got a lot of weight now. I can crush somebody with my belly. But respect. A man who respects God will respect others. Girls, this is important for you to understand. Find a guy who respects God. And a guy who respects God will respect you. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for this time that you've allowed us to have. We thank you, Lord, even from Cain and Abel, we are able to learn and apply things to our relationships. God, I thank you for my wife that you've given me for 26 years. She's been my best friend. She's been a great wife to me, and I thank you so much for her. God, I pray that as we go into our next stage of life, that you would give us the direction and discernment that we need to seek in our daughter's life. And God, I pray that the man that comes into her life would be a man that has salvation and loves and respects you. God, I thank you for the provision that you've had in my life. I thank you for my parents for praying for me. And God, I pray that you just continue as we go away from here tonight. We ask it in your name. Amen.